I am the People's Executive Coach, Steve Valvano. And if you ever wanted to know how to manage through difficult relationships in the workplace, and we all have had them, we have an expert with us, a psychologist, consultant, and mediator. Jay Cherney is on the telephone with us to discuss having these tough conversations with tough people. Jay, what does the research tell us about the cause and effect of rude people, insensitive people, in their behavior in the workplace?
Yeah, well, there's one study that I can tell you about did try to quantify the impact of this. And we've all, you know, as you said, we've all experienced these kinds of relationships. And in this study, 53% of the participants lost work time worrying about their difficult relationships.
Yes.
22% decreased their efforts on the job. 10% actually cut back their hours, and 12% quit their job.
And you could just put a dollar figure on all of that in terms of not able to retain good players, time loss on the job, and things like that. And it's got to come to millions, if not billions, of dollars across America, I would imagine.
I would think so. I think it's really a huge impact that I think companies generally don't think about in quantitative terms.
What are some common examples of what people consider highly difficult behavior?
Yeah, well, very aggressive kinds of behaviors, people who talk and won't listen at all.
Right.
Very critical, backbiting, gossiping kinds of behaviors, talking behind a person's back. Another one is people who actually seem very agreeable and agree to all your suggestions, and then do absolutely none of them.
Now, isn't this just a case of once bitten, twice shy? That is, if the guy said yes, yes, yes to me, and then he never implemented it, and I know the next time he gives me yes, 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 I'm going to have to do something to make sure that he's telling me the truth this time.
Sure, but what are you going to do? I mean, there's he can yes you to death. You can interrupt him and say, yeah, but last time he didn't do it, and he could say, oh, but this time I really will do it.
So what's needed in these situations, Jay?
Yeah, well, it's really stepping back to really look at the relationship as a whole and really have a conversation, begin to initiate a conversation about the relationship, sort of a conversation about the conversation that you're going to have.
Yes.
So it's really letting the person know, hey, there's something going on here that I'm really concerned about and I'd like to talk about. But it's really, really important not to go in an attacking mode, to have your emotions under pretty good control.
Now, should you tell that person that I believe that you are behaving wrong? Is that a way to go in about this? In other words, already telling him that he's the problem or she's the problem?
Well, no, because I think that's leaning towards blaming the person.
Right, and they'll go right into defense mode, I would imagine.
Exactly, and defensiveness is really the key pitfall of this whole thing, and we all get defensive at times. We all need to protect ourselves. And what I'm talking about, when I talk about in my workshops, is approaching relationships in this conversation in ways that minimize defensiveness.
So, what is it for me? If you're going to tell me that I'm, and I know you're not saying this, but you know, I'm the problem, let's say in the situation, and you want to talk about our relationship, why would I want to even go here? I mean, you're not going to call me out, so to speak. So what is it in it for me to get involved in this kind of conversation?
Well, it's improving a work relationship, and I think in our hearts, all of us want to have decent work relationships and want to be productive and do well. And, if a person is obstructing progress on a project, it's really your responsibility to try to make things better.
Yes. So why are we so unnatural in these cases? Why is it hard for us to get into this kind of inquiry?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people are afraid of conflict. And I think criticism is one of the most difficult things to deal with.
Yes.
In all parts of our lives. And in these conversations, the art form is really managing, doing criticism in a sense, but making it work, making it go down better.
These are interesting times. We talk about this a lot on the Workplace Expressway on our call-in show, Jay. And one of the things that I've noticed is that we've become more coarse as a society. Mm-hmm. Yet, I think we're more afraid to talk about people who are coarse. And it seems to be a dichotomy to me. As we've become more sensitive, we talk about what's bothering us less. And as we become more coarse, we let some of that coarseness go merrily on, and we really don't want to inquire about this stuff, and we're super sensitive about talking about sensitive. Have you seen some of that?
Yeah, I think it's very hard to have a productive conversation, and it's so much easier to vent to somebody else, at the water cooler, to complain about Joe down the hall.
Social complaining, as I call it.
What's that?
It's social complaining.
Yeah, sure.
And that is, it's not necessarily going to go anywhere, because the receiver is not the problem. The receiver is just, for that moment, right, your counsel.
And what the person gets, or what they are looking for, is validation for their position. The person at the water cooler is going to say, yeah, you're completely right. And then you walk away feeling, yeah, see, the other person is totally the problem. Now, but the big shift that I think is really important is to see the relationship as the problem, which is a two-person system, and that with better input, the person who wants to make it better can actually change that system.
Wow, that's interesting, because I think most people think if they complain enough, they could get that person booted out of the organization or their department or wherever it may be.
Or even get that person to change directly by applying pressure, by saying, look, you're doing this wrong, you have to do it this way. And let's face it, people don't change under those conditions.
Right. Now, how much is there a direct derivative of changing these types of behaviors and the way adults learn? Because nobody learns in a defensive posture. If the professor at the college said, you're a bunch of dummies, you'll never learn this, well, most cases they won't. I mean, do you see a direct thread running between adult learning in this type of defensive posture?
Absolutely. I think criticism and the defensiveness that it brings really shuts down learning, because it shuts down the flow of information. And another really important approach that I take, that I help people take, is to look for positive intention. Even though somebody's being very difficult, obstructive, or critical, they probably have some positive intention underneath. And in the conversation, in a conversation that works, by trying to draw out what that positive intention is, you reduce these barriers.
Wow, that's interesting. Now, do you suggest to people that they actually practice this inquiry?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in my workshop, I help people practice some of these scenarios and actually have them prepare to have the conversation in a different way. And it's a structured series of steps to step back and say, and the main shift is trying to understand the other person first.
How do you get people to shut down the emotional part? Because I think that's where it goes afoul. People just get, choked up, and those who could cry will cry. Those who get angry will raise their voice, that type of thing. Well, do you have any hints for the folks who are listening on how do you keep the emotional out of the conversation?
Right. It's really about minimizing the emotion. And the way I approach that idea is that when you're reacting to somebody's behavior, you're not reacting directly to their behavior. You're actually reacting to your story about what their behavior means.
You're reliving it.
That's right. And you're assuming that very often we assume they're having really negative intentions, like they're trying to cause trouble. But if you step back and say, okay, what are some other possible explanations for why this person is behaving this way? And keep that as a possibility and say, okay, they're being human. They're having some kind of tough experience. If I can understand that, maybe I can actually make a connection with them.
Yeah, it makes some impact. Now, would you also suggest a mediator to be involved, such as human resources department? I know I've done this for people who are not getting along, where I'm clearly not the passionate one because I'm disconnected from their emotions, and I can hear both sides when perhaps they're not listening. Is that always a good idea to have somebody else in the room?
Well, it can be. I think that can work. I think that's maybe not the last resort, but I think the first resort would be to try to work it out person to person, because you're the two who are going to be working together, and it's really up to both of you to elevate yourselves as much as possible and
right,
and move past the difficulty.
Do you find people need a push from perhaps the organizational management to own this? Because most people will just run away from it.
Right. I think a leader can set a tone and try to create a culture where we have these difficult conversations. It takes courage to have these conversations, especially to initiate a different kind of conversation and
sure
say, hey, let's talk about the difficulty we're having.
See, people ask me what leadership is, and I think you just put your finger on it. Good leadership is the person who can come in and set that tone, and then the company has to reward the individual who steps out and tries this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because without that reward, it goes down to what's in it for me. And I think if you say these are the values of the organization, I'd like to see you untie these knots. And I'd like both of you to work on it and then reward people for that. And I'm not suggesting you get a big bonus because you're not nasty anymore, but certainly some kind of recognition that you've made that difficult change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you see a trend of that kind of reward coming through?
Well,
a little slow, huh?
I'm afraid I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Too much.
That's. I think that falls in my HR department for sure, Jay. Jay, how do people get a hold of you? And tell us a little bit about your company in case they would like to use you as a consultant when it comes to working with difficult people.
Sure. I'm part of Appreciative Inquiry Consulting. And the website is appreciativeteambuilding.com. And the appreciative approach is really what I was talking about in terms of looking for the most positive intention and trying to move past criticism to value, to find out what you really value in the other person.
Jay, thank you. Jay Cherney, a psychologist, consultant, and mediator, and certainly an expert in working with difficult people. Again, Jay, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Steve.